Alright, so let's begin. So there should be sheets. Everyone has a sheet. Alright, so again, time permitting, we're going to do two different parts today. I want to do a little bit, you know, we try to do a little bit each week, just a few minutes of Pu'ulas HaTzadik, just some of the stories, a little bit about Rabbi Nachman's beginnings and about his family. So let's actually pick up this week with section Yud. So remember again, the last time we learned, we were speaking about the idea that the Baal Shem Tov's Talmud Mufak, one of the Baal Shem Tov's primary disciples, Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker, ended up marrying, the Baal Shem Tov made a shidduch for him. His wife passed away, again, a month after giving birth. They had a little boy named Simcha. Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker was really unable to raise the child by himself. So it turned out that the child was raised in the home of Adol, the daughter of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. So that's where we left off. If you look at paragraph Yud, and this is again, it's very apropos on the heels of our trip. Od b'chayi haBaal Shem Tov, ratzim ma'od Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker zal l'nsoa l'Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker had an incredible desire to travel to Eretz Yisrael. Ach haBaal Shem Tov HaKadosh lo hiskim, al kein nisaki. But the Baal Shem Tov did not allow it. And then Rabbi Nachman didn't go. So everyone says, this is the yisod by a Rebbe, right? Meaning the difference between a Rebbe and a Rebbe is that if you don't like what your Rebbe says, so what do? You find another Rebbe, right? Baruch Hashem. There's no shortage of Rebbeim out there to ask him. There's no shortage of opinions. But the Rebbe, the relationship that a chassid has with his Rebbe is that he believes that his Rebbe really knows his neshama better than he knows his neshama. And so Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker wants to go to Eretz Yisrael more than anything. He asks his Rebbe, can I go? And the Baal Shem Tov says no. U'b'chol pap kishis or etzlo ratzon u'tushukol in tzol Eretz Yisrael halach levakish es haskamas rabah Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh achlo hiskim. Every single time Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, he asked the Baal Shem Tov, but the Baal Shem Tov would not go ahead and agree. Pam achos kishe nis order etzlo ratzon in teshuka chazaka l'nsol Eretz Yisrael u'ba levakesh haskamas rabah Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. So one time Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker again has that burning desire to go ahead and to go to Eretz Yisrael. He has that burning desire ultimately to go ahead and make aliyah. So what happens? He comes, however, to ask the haskama for the agreement of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov says, if you look in paragraph A, im atarot selen soa sa, ach kodim lech lemikvah. If you want to go, that's fine, but you have to go to the mikvah first. So listen to this maisa. Bahalach tekef umiyad ala mikvah, v'tavah har beit tevilos. Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker goes to the mikvah, and he immerses himself many times in the mikvah. V'chazer uba al rabo, and he comes back to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. V'shalos ha-Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Ma ra'isa b'tevila rishona. What did you see? What did you see in the first tevila? What did you see in the first immersion? First time you went into the mikvah, what did you see? Heshiv ra'isies Eretz Yisrael. He said, I saw Eretz Yisrael. Uma ra'isa b'tevila shnia. What did you see the second time you immersed? Veheshiv ra'isi es Yerushalayim. I saw Yerushalayim Yerakodesh. Uma ra'isa b'tevila shlishis. What did you see the third time that you immersed? Veheshiv ra'isi es makom hamikdash. I saw the Beis Hamikdash. Uma ra'isa b'tevila revias. What did you see the fourth time you immersed? Veheshiv ra'isi es karche hakadosh kadoshim. I saw mamish the Holy of Holies. So they call this hakadoshim. Aval es ha'aron lo ra'isi. But I didn't see the aron. I didn't see the Aron. See, Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker, fourth dunk in. So I saw the Kodesh HaKadosh, I saw the Holy of Holies, but the Aron was not there. Amar lo Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Zechusa Yagen Aleinu, in paragraph Tzadik, in footnote 7, he says, Aron hu b'meshbis. That's because the Aron is not in Eretz Yisrael. The Aron is in Meshbis. Remember, Meshbis was the home of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Ve'evin, she'in ratzon rabo she'yisa. And he saw, the Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker saw from there, that it was not the ratzon of his Rebbe, that he should make Aliyah, that he should go to Eretz Yisrael. Al kein, kavar lohis akish yoser v'nisha itzo rabo kol yemei chayov. Therefore again, he did not ask his Rebbe again about going to Eretz Yisrael, and he remained in Meshbis, he remained with the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh the rest of the Baal Shem Tov's life. Now, the truth is, this is an interesting idea. You know, the Gemara discusses that there are certain, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, so it's Osir, so you can't leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz Laaretz. But there are certain things you are permitted to go to Chutz La'aretz for? What are the things you're permitted to go for? So one of them is for a shidduch, marriage purposes. Another is for parnasa, if a person can't make a living in Eretz Yisrael, they could go to Chutz La'aretz. And of course, the third, although it's really the first, is Torah. If a person has the ability to learn Torah better in Chutz La'aretz than in Eretz Yisrael, let's say their Rebbe, who they need to learn from is in Chutz La'aretz, then they are permitted to go. So what the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh was telling Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker is that your Aron, your Torah is not in Yerushalayim. Your Torah is not in Eretz Yisrael. Your Torah is in Meshbis. An incredible, incredible Maisa. Take a look very quickly. We'll do Yud Aleph and then we'll go on to the Torah for today. I'm sorry? Who's buried in Meshbis? The Baal Shem Tov, right? That's where he died. After his talkos of Hashem Tov Hakadosh, the Chus Yogin Aleinu, Haya Darko Shal Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker Lishtateach Bechol Pamatzion Rabo. So after the Baal Shem Tov passed away, Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker would always prostrate himself on his Rebbe's grave. He would go to down by his Rebbe's kever, v'shal mimeno komasharatas. This is wild. And he would converse with the Baal Shem Tov. He would converse with the neshama of the Baal Shem Tov. And he would ask him whatever he wanted. V'diber imo kasha yedaber ish imre ehu. And he would speak with the neshama of his Rebbe, like people speak with each other. Meirov kidushaso uprishaso shahay sabo. Because Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker was on such a high level that he was able to converse with the neshama of the Baal Shem Tov. Meirov divukuso berabba akadosh. V'alkin gam az. Bechol is shebal tzion rabo, hayaragil lishol es rabo, emisal eretz yisrael rabo lo hiskim. Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker had such a strong desire to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's what? After the episode he read about in section Yud, he stopped asking the Baal Shem Tov any more furishes, because the Baal Shem Tov didn't want him to go. But after the Baal Shem Tov passed away, when he would visit the kever, he again would ask his Rebbe, can I go to Eretz Yisrael? And again, the Baal Shem Tov would not agree. Upam achos kishebal tzion rabo ubikesh shaloso ha'im yisa kvar le'aretz Yisrael v'hiskim ha'ba Shem Tov ha'kodesh z'chusa yogin l'shiyisa. And then one time, for which the reason is not explained, the Baal Shem Tov ha'kodesh changed his mind and gave Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker the reshus, the permission to go to Eretz Yisrael. V'tekev u'miyad yarad me'atzion b'simcha tzuma u'berikudim. And immediately he left the kever with incredible simcha, incredible dancing, ich farkain Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, v'chein haya. And this indeed is what happened. Shenasali Eretz Yisrael, v'nistalik sham, he went to Eretz Yisrael, he lived out the rest of his life there, u'menuchaso kavod b'teveria. So unfortunately, I didn't know about this when we were just a few days ago, but apparently Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker is buried in Teveria. Now the part of the story that we'll pick up with is something quite dramatic, incredible, tragic at the same time. Rabbi Nachman Hari Denker goes to Teveria, but he does not take little Simcha with him. Little Simcha is raised by the daughter of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh by Adol, and is not raised, his mother passed away when he was young, was not raised again by his father. His father goes to Eretz Yisrael, and young Simcha remains in Meshbiz. And Eretz Yisrael will continue next week with the ongoing story of little Simcha. Turn out to page three. Excuse me.
So as I saw, himself never made it to Eretz Yisrael.
Baal Shem Tov never made it to Eretz Yisrael. No. So I want to share with you what I think is a beautiful, beautiful idea from Rabbi Nachman regarding Purim. You know, next week, I think, right, Thursday night is Purim night. So there'll be a shir, different kind of shir, Amir Hashem, but not here at least. So we'll get in a little bit of Torah for Purim from Nachman, and this you're going to see is a really exceptional, exceptional piece. Let's take a look at 3, paragraph A. Haklal. This is from a sefer Pinine Hamoadim. So as I mentioned before, you know, when you learn Rabbi Nachman's the Kutim Aran is not organized it's logical, meaning it definitely follows logic, but it's not organized in a way that you could just say, I want to look for Purim, I'm going to open up the page 322. It's all over the place. So one of the Brezel Hasidim came along, and essentially they organized the Rebbe's Torah according to Yamim Tovim. So this is, and they put out like a 6-volume sefer called Pinine Hamoadim. So this is from Purim. Look what he writes. Haklal, she'ikar achidish shal Purim hu, she'roem ayidei tokef hanes hazeh, otsem hashkachoso yisparach aleinu b'chol eis. Says Rabbi Nachman, what is the ikar of Purim? The Ikar of Purim, says Rabbi Nachman, is that we see Sheroim Ayidei Tokef Hanais Hazeh, through the miracle of Purim, we are able to see Hashkachaso Yisparach Aleinu B'chol Eis. David, Shalom Aleichem. I don't get a greeting like that from the dog. Mamish. So what happens? So Rabbi Nachman says that from Purim, we learn from Purim, from the Nes of Purim, we get to learn the incredible strength of Hashkachas Hashem, divine providence at all times. In other words, from the miracle of Purim, what we learn is the concept of Hashkachas Hashem, that divine providence and divine guidance oversees and overlooks our life at all times. Afilu, look at Rabbi Nachman writes, Afilu betokev ha'astara shebesoch ha'astara. Right? And Rabbi Nachman says, sometimes in life, not only is there hastara, not only is HaKadosh Baruch Hu hidden, but sometimes it's hastara shebesoch ha'astara. Sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam is so hidden, sometimes the Ribbono Shel Olam is so removed that I don't even know where to begin to look for him. But even in those moments when it's b'shastara b'socha astara, afilu b'tokef meriros hagalus, even in the midst of the bitterness of galus, afa pi she'ein roin shum shinui hateva, even though we don't see any change of nature, the natural order of the world is intact. Afa pikein Hashem Yisparach mastir es atzmo b'chol hatzaros v'hamenios v'hayisurim bedrachim niflaim l'tavosenu. But yet we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes ahead and hides himself and embeds himself in the midst of all the difficulties, all of the challenges. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately again is doing miraculous things for us. L'chayosinu kayom azeh. And asher titzmach keren Yisrael v'yavol Mashiach tzidkenu. So the Rebbe here says something amazing. The Rebbe says, you know what the power of the Yom Tov of Purim is? The power of the Yom Tov of Purim, and we're going to expand on this just a little bit. The power of the Yom Tov of Purim is, it teaches us that the Ribono Shel Olam is with us. God is with us. Afilu b'hastara shebesoch ha'astara. The Ribono Shel Olam is with us even when it doesn't look like He's here. And even when we feel all alone, and even when we feel like we've been forsaken, and even when everything looks so dark and so gloomy and so terrible, the Ribono Shel Olam is always there. But the Rebbe takes it further. Not only is He always there, but what? He's actively planning salvation in the midst of this terrible looking situation. He says, L'chayosinu kayom azeh, ala va'az novin v'nira, komashe sivev Hashem yisparach imanu, b'nifla'osav l'tavosinu afilu b'sokef miriros hagolos, b'guf v'nefesh u'mamo. And there comes a point in time where after HaKadosh Baruch Hu emerges, after the situation resolves itself, that we're able to see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was present, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was pulling the strings and orchestrating the circumstances the entire time, and how everything is l'tov osinu, everything is for our good, even the most difficult circumstances. V'hakol b'dirachim niflaim v'noraim she'efshar l'hasigam klal. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things in ways that are miraculous, does things in ways that are overwhelming, does things in ways that we simply cannot comprehend. Ba'ofen sheyihye nishar habechira l'chol echad. I was saying here, the Rebbe says something very important, which is the following. Sometimes we wonder to ourselves, why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu just do open miracles all the time? Meaning if there's a problem, just split the Yam Suf, right? Just split the sea. Just go ahead and do what you have to do to just take care of the difficulty. Well, so understand, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu ran the world in that way, then what would happen? There's no Bechira. There's no free choice. Why is there no free choice? Right? Because again, if just imagine the following situation. If it was pouring outside, and every single time you got to a puddle, the puddle split before you, so that you shouldn't have to walk in water, and you could walk on dry land in the middle. So what happens? That's, you have no choice but to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's right in your face.
Or you get used to it, you know, and you think that's the way it works.
Okay, that might be true. So let's say it's not the same miracle all the time. I'm saying, if it was miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, at the end of the day, it limits your Bechira. Meaning at some point in time, you're going to believe in God, but not because you've actively chosen, but to a certain degree because What's your alternative? How do you not believe? Now, the truth is, this is easy to say, although we have some proof that this is not necessarily the case, because if you look at the Dor HaMidbar, right, look at our ancestors in the desert, meaning they saw miracle after miracle after miracle, and yet what? And yet, again, they still had incredible challenges to their Emuna. But okay, we'll accept the premise of the Rebbe, that ultimately, at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't go ahead and always operate in a supernatural fashion, because if he does that, at some point in time, what happens is we lose our Bechira, we lose our free choice. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does instead is, he does miraculous things, he does incredible supernatural things, but those supernatural things are often embedded in the framework of natural order. So what the Rebbe highlights to us in this opening part is that what's the essence of Purim? Right? And again, there's not one answer to this question. And Rabbi Nachman himself gives multiple answers. But for our purposes today, what's the essence of Purim? And says the Rebbe, the essence of Purim is to be able to see the greatness of the Ribono Shel Olam, even Bahastara Shebesocha Astara, even in the most hidden of circumstances. Because although HaKadosh Baruch Hu could choose to interact with us in a supernatural way every single day, if he were to do that, we would lose a little bit of our Bechira. We'd lose a little bit of our free choice. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in an effort to maintain our ability to choose freely, in an effort to maintain our ability to choose to have a relationship with him, and not just to fall into it, he cloaks himself in the natural world. He makes things look ordinary. And he gives us difficult circumstances, and it's our job to be able to find him and to see him even in the midst of those difficult circumstances. Now that Rebbe says something amazing, look at paragraph B. Alkein, therefore, get ready for this. The Medrash makes an amazing statement. The Medrash says that when Mashiach comes, all of the Yamim Tovim will cease to exist except for Purim. Now, Bosan, I have to understand, this is a wild statement on many levels. First of all, because Purim is a Dirabanan, right? Purim is a rabbinic yomtiv. It's not a Darais, it's not a biblical yomtiv. So what the Midrash essentially is saying is, so imagine this. So Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot no longer apply. Chanukah no longer applies. But Purim is still going to be on the books. We're still going to have Purim even when Mashiach comes. So watch this. What's the pshat? Ki kol ha-moadim, look what the Rebbe says. I'll explain this to you, says the Rebbe. Ki kol ha-moadim, heim zechel yitzias Mitzrayim. Because every other Yom Tov we have, Chanukah doesn't fit as much into this framework, but let's go with Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. All of our Yom Tovim are Zechli Yitzias, and they all to remember the Exodus. Shehaya az Nisim Niglim, Shehem Shinoi Hateva. Now remember, what happened in Yitzias? What happened in the Exodus? When we left Egypt, the whole story, the whole narrative of Yitzias Mitzrayim was a changing of the laws of nature. The laws of nature were suspended. He says, "Shezeh i'efshar kiim lefisha." I was saying, so a yitzias Mitzrayim type of existence, that's not the norm. Remember, the Rebbe said that can't be the norm. Why can't that be the norm? Because what happens? You lose your bechira, right? Because again, then you don't have to work on emuna. Because then it's all spoon fed to you. So yitzias Mitzrayim was a type of event, a supernatural event, but that happened what he called lefisha. It was necessary for that particular time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us what we needed. So then says something amazing. They both say, what is Mashiach? Right? What is the Messianic era? So you know, there's a lot of machlokes as to what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. Is it going to be a supernatural existence? You know, like, for example, the Shitas HaRambam, the Rambam says that you're going to have to pay your mortgage, right? You're going to have to pay your tuition. You're going to have to pay all your bills. It will be in Eretz Yisrael. And all the nations of the world will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and will respect Klal Yisrael, which of course is an incredibly miraculous thing to think about by itself. But the rest of the but life kind of goes on in a normal fashion. So the Rebbe says something amazing. One of the fundamental distinctions that's going to occur in the Messianic era is that there'll be an awareness of Hashkachas Hashem b'chol eis, that there'll be a constant, ongoing recognition and awareness of divine providence. People will be able to constantly see, feel, and sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our everyday lives. Which if you think about, that's amazing. It's amazing. Imagine going through your whole day and feeling HaKadosh Baruch Hu with you at every... Some people it makes them nervous, right? Depending on what you're doing with your day. But ultimately, imagine that feeling of knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by my side, is with me, is together with me throughout the day. And I'll be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's incredible miracles at all times. Now, by the way, it doesn't refer to supernatural miracles. We're surrounded by miracles all the time. We just call those miracles nature. When Mashiach comes, we're going to be able to see those miracles for what they are. The Alkein, Yihi you call Hamoadim B'Telim. So we'll say, see here what the Rebbe is saying? What is the Messianic era? Yimos HaMashiach is the ability to see Hashkachas Hashem, divine providence, in every single day. In every single day. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, that are Zecher Yitzchak, that are to remember the Exodus, are linked to not natural events, but what? Supernatural events. Meaning, the Yamim Tovim are days in which we recognize, we take a step back, and we see the Yad Hashem, the hand of God, in the supernatural. The Messianic era is the ability to see God in the natural. Therefore, says the Rebbe, when Mashiach comes, the Yamim Tovim will be batal. Because the Yamim Tovim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot represent a recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the supernatural. The Messianic era is the ability to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the natural world. Oh, Aval Yimei Purim lo niftalim. But what does the Medrash say? Purim won't be batal. The Yom Tov of Purim will still be on the books. Why? Ki gam b'nei shal Purim ra'u nifla'os hashkachasa b'chol eisu rega. Because as we just said before, what is Purim? What is Purim? Purim is the ability to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everyday life. Purim is the Yom Tov that we're able to see the Hashkachas Hashem, the divine providence, in every single moment. Shezeh b'chinas hisgalus hashkachaso shel asid, v'al ken yemei Purim lo yibatlu gam lo asid. Both say it's incredible chiddush. You hear this? So the Rebbe says, do you want to know why Purim is still going to be in effect when Mashiach comes? Because the entire message of Purim is the ability to see God in everyday life. There are no supernatural miracles in Purim. In fact, as we know, the name of HaKadosh Baruch was not even mentioned once in the Megillah. It's Hastara Shebahastara. God is hidden. Circumstances look gloomy. But yet what? God is orchestrating salvation through the day-to-day details of the Megillah. Says the Rebbe, that's Mashiach. Mashiach, my Zman Mashiach, Messianic era, is where we'll be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the day-to-day details of life. That's why in the Messianic era, all the other Yamim Tovim will cease to exist. Why? Because they all represent seeing God in the supernatural, but the Yamos Mashiach represents seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the natural orders. Al-Kim, therefore says the Rebbe, Mitzvahs Kriyas HaMegillah, Yikara Ugidula Kolkach. That's why reading of the Megillah is so exceptionally important. Ki mefarsim neis kazeh, sharon hashkachasi yisparach aleinu b'choleh. So we'll say, you know, there is such a stringency placed on Mikra Megillah, the need to hear the Megillah. But now we understand, because what's the message of the Megillah? What's the message of Purim? The message of Megillah, message of Purim, is the ability to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every moment. Afilu betokev ha'astara. Even when he is hidden, I feel, we turn the page, Be'ez She'isor Rechokim Me'atzam, even when we are far from our land, Al Yedezeh Yesh Lonu Tikva Gam Ata. And I will say, it is this mindset that gives us incredible hope even now, Be'golos Hamarazeh, in the midst of our terrible and our bitter golos. I will say, we'll stop over here in the text, but what comes out over here, I think, is something that's absolutely mind-blowing. In terms of the message of Purim, you know what I said? Purim is a strange Yom Tov. A strange Yom Tov, why? Because if you think about it, well, what's immediately strange is, it's a Yom Tov, but it's not really a Yom Tov in the classical sense. In what sense? There's no Isser Melacha. Right? You could do work on Purim. Again, you know, the Gemara brings down that one shouldn't work on Purim. And the Gemara actually says, anyone, if you work on Purim, you're not going to see siman bracha. You're not going to see any benefit. You're not going to see any benefit from that work. Okay, but it's not usur. It's not usur. A person has to go to an early Megillah reading because the person has to spend some time at work. Again, if you could avoid it, certainly better. But it's not usur to do it. So there's no isur malacha. So that's on one hand. It's a little bit strange for Yom Tov. Plus, on the other hand, the Mishnah, right? You know, the whole, we're not going to get into it now, but the whole discussion of drinking and celebrating on Purim is such a bizarre thing, right? Because think about it again. You know, the Gemara says, Chayiv inish lo v'soyim puriyah ad lo yodah bein arham le baruch Mordechai. Person is obligated to drink on Purim. Chayiv. Obligated to drink on Purim. So they don't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. They also say, now, the whole yisod of Yiddishkeit is moderation. That's the beauty of our religion. Everything is about moderation. You don't have to become an ascetic. You don't have to become an extremist. Just try to find the middle ground. And here, the halacha seems to be telling me to engage in extreme celebratory behavior. So what's the pshat of Osai? No isra malacha, extreme celebratory behavior. What's the message, says the Rabbah? It's very simple. The message of Purim is to try to find Hashem in everyday life. That's the message. You see, on Shabbos, it's easy to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because to a very large degree, I'm cut off from the world. I'm just cut off. I'm detached and disassociated. On Yom Tov, same thing. I'm rooted in some type of historical supernatural event. It's easy to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the supernatural. But what's the real chak? What's our avoda in life? To be able to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the natural order of life. To go through each and every day and to see Hashem. To go through each and every day and to perceive Hashem. To go through each and every day and to realize that the Ribono Shel Olam is standing by my side, taking every step next to me. Even when times are difficult, even when times are challenging, even when everything looks so bleak and looks so dark, Afilu ba'astara shebesocha astara, Kadosh Baruch Hu is still with me. That's the message of Purim. And I will say, what happens when you discover that on Purim? When you discover that, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always by my side, that I'm never alone, that He's always the architect of my salvation, even in the midst of difficult times. We'll say, what happens when you realize that? What happens when you realize that? It's unbridled simcha. It's a ridiculous outpouring of simcha. So happy, so overjoyed, that the only way I express it is literally with excessive simcha. I'm so overwhelmed by the enormity of this newfound reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with me. Afilu ba'astara shebesocha astara. That the emotion was always with me no matter what's going on in life. I'm so overwhelmed by that, that it's chayiv inish levasume bepuria. I'm so overwhelmed by that I'm never alone. That Ribono Shel Olam is always the architect of my salvation, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. So overwhelmed by that, that's what? That I have to drink. So overwhelmed by that, that I have to celebrate. So overwhelmed by that, that I can't even express my happiness over that in a normative way, but I express it in an excessive way. That, says Rebbe, is the message of Purim. And the message is so important that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us in every step of the way, that Hashkachas Hashem, divine providence, guides us, that even when Mashiach comes and there's an end to our tzaras, and even when Mashiach comes and there's an end to our galus, this mindset of what Purim represents, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us every step of it, is so important. Then Mashiach comes, we'll still continue to celebrate this beautiful Yom Tov. All right, Tavasi, step over here. Incredible idea.